Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rock Monster Rules by Timothy Ellis. Narrated by Amy Gorlow. 1.
Rocky, where are you?
There was no reply. There was always no reply. The bird had taken heavy damage. I knew that. I could see that. And I think I knew the truth about what had happened to Rocky as well. But I was a pilot, the bird was still flying, I still had control, and I needed to land. Watershed had the lead, and we had the priority on landing due to battle damage. He led me around to the rear of Claymore, and I lined up behind him as he headed in over the flight deck. Others were lining up behind me, but I was concentrating on the second trap in from the front of the ship and trying not to get too close to Watershed in front of me, going for the first one. Alarms started going off in my ears as red flared in different sections of the ship damage report I had up as a hollow screen to the side of the main HUD. The bird tried to nosedive to the deck, and I pulled the nose back up just in time. Ahead, I saw Watershed land on his trap a bit heavily, and his bird started down into the ship. Partially distracted, I didn't react fast enough to the next set of red lighting up on the damage report, and I knew I was losing it, desperately tried to keep control, and suddenly, the nose hit the deck, the bird flipped totally over, pitched sideways, and rolled. The last thing I saw was rolling headfirst into the hole where Watershed's fighter was halfway down, having rolled over my own trap and into his. A few seconds to think, this is it, I'm dead, and everything went black. Shit! I yelled, and sat bolt upright in bed.
Same nightmare?
Asked Rocky, through room comms. Of course it was. Just what I need, another crap day. That didn't mean how it sounded. I've been getting these nightmares for a long time now, although not often enough to send me to a shrink. They usually happen just before something stressful occurred. I'd been a cadet when that crash had happened. Recently transferred with 266 Squadron to the Claymore Light Carrier, I was one of only three cadets actually flying missions at the time. It was well before the midshipman program started, and that crash had been one of the reasons it was. I'd missed all the basic training most combat pilots received, and had joined the Imperium military just in time for the Trixone War to start. So I had no idea that when your bird was as damaged as mine was that day, you called it in and ejected. Especially when your AI had been destroyed and you were on manual. Bail the fuck out was the accepted wisdom, but I had no idea beyond not wanting to write off yet another fighter. Bailing resulted in a salvage droid collecting the fighter and a search and rescue droid collecting you. Neither ended up in worse condition. Instead, they'd pulled me out of the wreckage more dead than alive and saved only by the magic suit. Dreamwalker took a piece out of me as the wing commander. Vulture took a piece out of me as my squadron leader. And Watershed, now Hammer, took a piece out of me for almost killing him. Insult to injury, and I had bruises for weeks after.
Maybe it's just telling you something's about to change.
I snorted. I didn't need any changes. 266 Squadron had been disbanded, then put back together again with new pilots, and now I flew both the new Spitfire and my Justice-class Behemoth. Rock Monster, as this ship was officially called, from my callsign, had the module which the squadron lived on, even though we mostly flew off Mother Goose, so as not to freak out the locals. Rocky was my AI co-pilot, and I still don't understand why he still keeps that name. A lot of the early AIs changed to regular-sounding names a long time ago, but Rocky was among the ones who didn't. God, I hope not. I really feel at home with this squadron. I don't want anything to change now. He snorted, given there was nothing as normal as constant change. Still, I'd not done anything in recent times to catch any senior officer's eye, so there was no reason for anything to change. Unless the squadron was sent somewhere else. That could happen. But there was no war going on at the moment, so no reason I could see for reassignment. The arm we were on had more length to be explored than any squadron could do in a lifetime. And exploration and first contact was our main gig these days, while pretending to be traitors and mercenaries.
Are you getting up?
I checked the time. A little early, but not enough to bother with going back to sleep.
I'm up, I declared.
I threw off the sheet I slept under and padded into the bathroom. I slipped off the singlet and loose shorts I slept in, and the extra time gave me longer in the shower. I still found it odd showering with a belt on, but that belt had saved my life several times now, so it never came off. Exiting the shower, I used a towel to dry off with. It was quicker to simply shift your suit belt into protection mode and back again, which removed all water on your skin and in your hair. But I had time, and toweling off is something I enjoy. Wet hair didn't bother me, nor did brushing it out. When I had time, as I did now, not that it was particularly long or needed much attention. I got my usual crop top and full briefs from the dispenser and slipped them on. I knew some people who wore nothing under their suit uniform, or wore something next to nothing. But as far as I was concerned, if my suit was shredded for any reason, I wasn't going to be naked or near naked as a result. The uniform was the uniform. Being a girl, I wore the variation with the single line of buttons down the middle. I found the navy blue top acceptable, and the dull red pants somewhat ridiculous, but when an imperator designs your uniform, you don't get any say in the matter. You deal with it. Right on time, I went out the door and headed for the running track. No matter where you were or which militia you worked for, you went running before breakfast. Some days you also ended up in a training course or range, but our squadron didn't do much of that these days. We were a squadron, not ground pounders or any sort of mixture of both. We did keep up with some training, though, in case you ended up bailed out on a dirt ball sometime unexpectedly and needed to fight to stay alive. Fit and knowing how to use your equipment was the thing. I joined the squadron, and we followed Lacey, our CO, out onto the track. He set a moderate pace, and everyone was able to stay with him for the entire 10 kilometers. Of everyone in the squadron, I was definitely the youngest. But short legs with speed, rather than age without, meant we all kept together as we ran. Yeah, I just called myself short. Deal with it. As we came off the end of the track, I found Lacey waiting for me.
See me in my office straight after breakfast, Diane.
He didn't wait for a response, but headed off to his quarters for a shower. I did as well. 266 didn't do communal showering like a lot of the squadrons full of young people did. We all had our own bathrooms, and this time it was an in-and-out with a suit change to dry exercise. Then head for breakfast. We'd been together long enough now that we were almost a family in the way we interacted at mealtimes. It was rare for anyone not to turn up. The squadron, though, was top-heavy rank-wise, and thus very non-standard. But ranks rarely had any relevancy. We were a squadron and a team. So breakfast was always lively, especially since we were normally joined by all our AI co-pilots. Today was no exception. Lacey normally did a short briefing for what to expect during the day, but today he didn't. As soon as we both finished eating, he nodded towards his office and went out. I followed him. Inside, he waved me to a lounge chair. That was always ominous. It looked like I was getting a talking to about something.
"Whose arse have you put a bug up recently?"
he asked me. I shook my head at the absurdity of it. I've had no contact with anyone outside the squadron in months. You know that. I paused as I recognized that wasn't quite true. Military, anyway. I've seen my parents a few times, walked Haven Station a couple of times, but nothing else comes to mind.
Well, you must have done something. I'm to escort you to a meeting on Haven Station. No one would say why.
Do you have any ideas yourself?
Nope. But then I stay as far away from Haven as I can these days. The more independent I can stay, the better.
I knew he'd tried to retire several times now, but the brass wouldn't let him. Rumor had it the Imperator had let him set the squadron up how he wanted it, just to keep him in service after some sort of breakdown. Although squadron leader was a big come-down from wearing stars on his shoulders, he seemed to be happy these days.
Come on, let's get you there and see what shithole you've managed to dig yourself into.
Charming. Not. The module had a rift directly to Haven, so getting there was quick. Once on the station, we took a travel car to wherever whoever we were meeting was. The station AI knew. We didn't need to. Walking into what turned out to be a medium-sized conference room was a surprise. The whole squadron was already there, as were some of my previous squadron mates, including Dreamwalker and his girlfriend Chaos. I wasn't given any time to wonder what was going on.
"Lieutenant Commander Keaton?"
bellowed Rear Admiral Jane from the other side of the room.
"Front and center!"
2. Seriously, what the fuck? Promotions and medals in the Imperium military come strictly with demonstrating competence and doing heroically stupid things. I'd done nothing of the sort. I was at best a solid and versatile pilot, and while my rank was equivalent to a squadron leader, while flying Spitfires, I was not even a flight leader. 266 wasn't a normal squadron. I only had the rank because I'd previously flown the Justice Behemoth at a time when everyone who could had to, and Lieutenant Commander was the minimum rank for flying anything above battleship-sized ships. Basically, I was war-promoted because of need. So I had no illusions about promotion again being in my midterm future, let alone short-term. That all shot through my mind as I walked the length of the room, which I now realized had the usual desk missing. I heard other people coming in behind me, and a pop-up holo showed me Rocky leading in the other co-pilots and a few other pilots I knew coming in late. I braced in front of the Imperator. Admiral Jedburgh and Marshal Bigglesworth were standing behind him, with Admiral Jane off to one side. The crowd filled in the gap left open for me to walk through once I was past, but Lacey ended up at the front once I got there anyway.
"Attention to orders!" bellowed Jane,
and the whole room came to attention.
"Lieutenant Commander Keaton," said the Imperator, "you are promoted to commander. Congratulations."
He held out his hand to shake, and I was so surprised I stood there like a stunned mullet for half a minute while he waited. When I did hold my hand out, I completely missed his. He seemed to be unfazed by this, but it caused a few titters from the back stalls, and that made me get a grip. I took his hand, gave it a good shake, and after he took his back, I saluted him, which he returned. A pulse came in with my new insignia, and my 2.5 bars changed to a gold oak leaf. I realized the shock was still on my face, which, fortunately, only 4 people could see, and I made an effort to put my game face back on again. The Imperator was smiling, but I could see the effort it was taking for him to not be grinning his head off.
"Commander, you are hereby detached from 266 Squadron for the purposes of forming your own wing."
"My what?" I was suddenly terrified I'd actually said that, and the Imperator's grin slipping out for a moment didn't convince me I hadn't. But he said nothing, and I assumed he'd seen me lose control of my face for a moment instead. I concentrated on my game face harder.
"You'll receive your orders shortly, but I can tell you now you'll be based out of Kelawan Station."
"Where? Why?"
"You'll also be testing the first jury-class cruiser, which is a modified version of the judge class, but designed for the work 266 Squadron has been doing with a carrier-modified freighter. The new jury class carries 2 squadrons, which in this case will be 1 each of fighters and bombers,
with actual launch tubes, so launches look conventional to those who don't know we have a jump capability, while at the same time has a cargo bay which allows significant trading. Instead of needing a freighter and a carrier, this single ship does both.
Firepower?
Interrupted Lacey. Standard-sized cruiser turrets, but firing light dreadnought pulses. Everything else is scaled up the same way. The main turrets are also concealable, making the ship look more like a standard armed freighter.
Where's mine?
Asked my ex-boss.
Hey,
said the voice of Goose, his freighter carrier AI, from somewhere at the back, causing the rest of the squadron to laugh. The commander here will assess the first ship in the class, and if it performs as designed, it will become the standard explorer ship based around one or two squadrons.
So next week, then?
Quipped Hammer, and the laughter intensified. Now the Imperator was grinning, but at least it wasn't because of me. I was still locked into brace position.
At ease, bellowed Jane,
and I relaxed with everyone else. Come and see me in my military office when the congratulations end, he said quietly, and promptly left, Jane following him. The Admiral and Marshal shook hands with me next, followed by Lacey, Dreamwalker, Chaos, and then Hammer. After that, I lost track. No one tried to hug me, which was a bit of a relief. It wasn't my thing, and this was awkward enough as it was. While Hammer was really happy for me, the fact I'd leapfrogged him had to hurt. He'd been a pilot a lot longer than I'd been, and for a long time had been my wingman protection while still a cadet, let alone as a rookie. It wasn't fair me jumping him. Or at least I didn't think so. He was a better pilot than I'd ever be, even if he did have a gammy leg. Finally, after Lacey announced there'd be a party after dinner, everyone left to get on with their day, leaving me with Rocky.
Congratulations on getting your brass hat.
My what?
Brass hat.
We don't wear hats. He laughed, and I figured out he'd led me into that one.
The two commander ranks have traditionally been the line between junior and senior officers. Back when they did wear hats, the amount of gold braid added to the commander's hat led it to being called a brass hat, since, after that, the amount of gold keeps getting larger. But my point is, as a full commander now, you're officially a senior officer. So congratulations.
Thanks, I guess.
Now hustle. You're keeping the Imperator waiting.
Oh, shit. 3. I'd forgotten he was waiting for me. Rocky led me out and into a travel car, which spat us out a few levels down. We hustled around to his office and found Admiral Jane waiting out front. They're waiting for you, she said, although managing not to suggest I was late with her tone. She waved me into the outer office and through the open door to the inner one.
You too,
she told Rocky, and he followed me in, with the Admiral shutting the door behind us. Take a seat, Commander, said the Imperator. Lieutenant, you're out of uniform.
I'm what?
Said Rocky without thinking and before I could sit, and stopping me from doing so. His expression changed immediately, though, and his insignia changed as well, to what I'd had before the ceremony.
I must apologize, Lieutenant Commander. You should have been promoted in the same ceremony, but we only just thought out the ramifications while waiting for you both. Both of you were overdue for promotion, but the Commander's was special. I hate it when we screw up like that, though. I'm sorry.
No need to apologize, sir. I had no expectation of any promotions, so getting it is a thrill, regardless of how.
I don't quite understand mine, I blurted, causing grins to appear on all their faces. The they also included Admiral Jedburgh and Marshal Bigglesworth. Admiral Jane waved us to seats, and everyone sat.
It's very simple, Commander. We've let you be a part of Lacey's experiment mainly to keep him happy,
and as a reward to you for your excellent service during the Trixone War.
But it was also a test, added Marshal Bigglesworth, to see if you'd learn how to command a squadron by watching him, and what initiative you'd take while out on patrol without a more experienced officer. You've done really well in this regard, even if you were not aware that every time you stepped up and gave your squadron mates either suggestions or orders, someone was always watching you do it.
We're satisfied you're ready for a higher command, said Admiral Jedburgh. Lacey won't admit it, but he's the best command teacher we have, and you being with him was part of furthering your career.
And that's another part of it, added Admiral Jane. You're the first cadet to be promoted to a senior officer position, and that's a big deal to all the current cadets and midshipmen, who all aspire to the same thing and don't have the skills of a Grandmaster Bud or his influence on his squadron. We need to show that the recruiting programs do lead to higher rank through normal hard work. And as the first cadet, and being one way before we had a cadet program, your promotion now is a big deal for the program itself.
And yet, General Harriman, who ran the program, wasn't here. I'm glad I wasn't promoted in front of the whole cadet corps, I muttered, not realizing I said it aloud until after I did.
It was suggested, said the Imperator. But we know you, Commander, and embarrassing people is not part of the promotion process. So let's get down to it.
He paused, letting me get a grip. Rocky was still grinning. My game face had slid, so I put it back on.
You're being seconded to the new Kelawan Militia, which is only a couple of weeks old. I nodded, having heard about its odd way of being created. Mage King Haynes is now a Rear Admiral, in case you hadn't heard. I had, but not paid any attention to it. And he'll be briefing you when you leave here. You'll base out of his stations, and for the most part, live on Jury.
Your ship is docked not far from here, said Admiral Jane.
What about Rock Monster? I asked. They all looked at Rocky.
On its way, he said. I got told to leave the module behind.
You'll be getting a new module, Admiral Jane informed us. It's a new design allowing Jury to dock inside and providing you with new options.
You'll operate, said Admiral Jedburgh, as you did with 266 Squadron. The behemoth stays out of range of everything as backup in case you run into something Jury can't handle. The module includes the latest hospital and rescue equipment, so you can act as a rescue-based ship if necessary.
I opened my mouth.
You won't operate any of that equipment, said the Imperator. For rescue operations, there's a rift directly to where the people who will operate the gear will be. They can be there quickly, where getting ships to where you might be would take a lot longer.
You're suggesting we're going to be a long way away from Kelawan at some point?
Yes.
266 proved how far you could get on an arm. You'll be in the core.
Distance isn't the same as you know, even out where Kelawan is. A jump doesn't take you as far out on an arm. So you'll carry everything we think you might need and the ability to get people and replacements to you rapidly. Rock Monster will be your base ship and Jury your public face.
You'll meet your squadrons this afternoon, said Marshal Bigglesworth. They're a mixed lot. Experienced squadron leaders, a mixture of long-time and recently promoted flight lieutenants, the same mixture of pilots, with a few being just promoted pilot officers.
You, Commander, said the Imperator, command the wing as a Navy commander, doubling as the wing commander.
I'd seen Dreamwalker take on the same role, but it felt bizarre, me now taking on the same role as he had.
Any questions?
Asked Admiral Jedburgh. Navy crew, do I get any?
That depends on you. If you choose to fly a fighter as the wing commander, then Jury needs someone left in command. Rock Monster won't. As if you need heavy support, we can assume you'll be in the main chair for it. But Jury needs someone in that chair for all three shifts, not the least for trading purposes.
It's not in your job description to play traitor, the Imperator stated. While trading, you act as captain, and someone else does the shift work and backs you up if you leave the ship. Will you be flying with your fighters?
Of course.
Then we'll assign a first shift officer who can also fight Jury effectively if necessary.
What about Rocky?
I asked, without thinking it through first.
The lieutenant commander will run both ships plus your fighter, said Admiral Jedburgh. And if he wants to, he can start the learning process for commanding those ships in a battle. If and when he performs up to Rear Admiral Jane's standards for AI pilots, the shift officers will be reassigned.
Rocky looked like the cat who just swallowed the proverbial canary. I'd heard that AIs were now doing the midshipman course from the beginning as avatars, but not actually believed it. But if they were going to let Rocky test for actual command, maybe it was so.
Any other questions? Asked the Imperator.
No, sir. Actually, I had a lot of them, but not that I wanted to admit to here.
Then congratulations on your new command, Commander and Lieutenant Commander. Mage King Haynes is expecting you now, and you'll be advised where your party tonight will be later.
Thank you, sir. I rose. Rocky followed me, but the three of them stayed sitting. You didn't salute a sitting officer. We both braced to attention and then left. Outside, I turned to Rocky. Please tell me I'm not dreaming.
I'm not dreaming.
4.
He's waiting for you. The walk to Kelawan Orbital, tens of thousands of light years across the core, didn't take long. We took a travel car to close to the Rift to Terminus station a couple of systems away, and then walked around to go through the Kelawan Rift. The walk cleared my head and gave me a chance to accept that this was real. A lieutenant commander named Sixer met us at the customs point and waved us through without joining a queue. I was pretty sure Sixer was an AI, but not totally sure until I watched him walk. He and Rocky walked identically, even though their outward body shapes were completely different. Sixer was pretty lean, while Rocky preferred to look like he was an upper bodybuilder. I still didn't understand why, but since big muscles wasn't something that attracted me, it probably made it easier for us to be friends and nothing else. Kelawan Orbital wasn't all that developed yet, but building was going ahead frantically. Consequently, there were not a lot of people around, but I was surprised to see a few species I'd not come across before, and which a pop-up told me came from Trixone space on the other end of the core. While we'd been in the action against the Rotanuga at the end, we'd never stepped foot on a station out that way, and that was before joining 266. We'd seen plenty of new people shapes on our arm exploring, but there was always something new, it seemed, no matter where you went. I was surprised to be led into a CCC, until Rocky pointed out this was Grand Mage Bud's station design, and thus fully armed. The office we were taken across to was about the same size as the Imperator's inner office, but without an outer one. Inside was a man wearing a different uniform, with two stars on his shoulders, along with senior mage insignia and a gold crown. He appeared to be no older than I was.
I don't care,
he was saying.
I want it done and done now.
He turned and waved us in, pointing to the Imperium Standard Officer's lounge chairs, even though he was still at his desk.
What part of now don't you understand?
He listened a bit longer.
What part of I don't care do you not understand? Get it done.
He shook his head and rose, obviously having shut down the hollow conversation.
Sorry about that,
he said as he came across to us and took a seat opposite.
I have this very new advisory council, and although they tell me what I need to hear, they can't agree on anything, even when I tell them to do things.
He sighed.
Still, It's early.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?